Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What is love? The love the world seeks is an emotion, and it is almost always self-serving. Those who have today's epistle read at their weddings will be sorely disappointed. Love is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. If you hear that with an expectation of how, of that being how your spouse will love you, you will be shocked to learn the person you married is not very good at that kind of love. If you hear St. Paul's description of love as an exhortation, a to-do list for yourself, how you are to love others, you will also be similarly disappointed to discover your inability to embody this kind of love. As St. Paul describes it, love is not an emotion, not a fleeting feeling. Love, rather, is a person. He is patient and kind. He does not envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude, does not insist on his own way. He is not irritable or resentful. He does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. He is the truth. God is love, to be sure. And Jesus, God in the flesh, is love incarnate in the flesh. Paul's description of love is not the kind of love that comes from you, but the kind of love that comes to you. Jesus is not an abstract kind of love. He is love perfectly and specifically. He doesn't love generically as you might, but he loves specifically and incarnationally, intentionally. For the third and final time in Luke's account of the gospel, Jesus tells you what is the nature of his love. See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. It's hard to be more specific about Jesus' upcoming arrest, beating, crucifixion, and resurrection. And yet, the disciples understood none of these things. But see, he said, we are going up to Jerusalem. And seeing, they could not see. So also you, seeing, cannot see. You want to use the love of God as a license to sin, an excuse. God is loving and accommodating, you suppose, even to those who worship a different non-triune God. He will excuse those who have no faith as long as they live lives of love, the world muses. None of that is true, and none of that is what God means when he calls himself love. It's all nonsense. God is not that kind of milquetoast, smarmy love. That's fake love. That God is love, the world wants to believe, of course, but that he is a specific kind of love, no one wants to believe. A specific love that commands your obedience is not the kind of love the world wants. A love that refuses to leave you in your old life of sin and death is not what most people assume when they say, God is love. A love so specific that he can declare, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, seems rather loveless to to a culture that has no understanding of what real love is. You'll never know what love is apart from this specific love from God. This is how we know love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins, says the Apostle Paul. With a view of love that's so distorted and focused on what meets your needs or makes you feel good, is it any wonder that it is puzzling, even offensive, to hear that the love of God is tied to God's own suffering and death? Love is specific and has a purpose. Love's destination is Jerusalem. And as he was journeying toward Jerusalem, there at the side of the road was a blind man begging. Hearing a crowd, he asked what all the commotion was about. When they told Bartimaeus, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by," he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And when the crowds rebuked him and told him to be silent, he cried out all the more. Bartimaeus knows what love is, or rather, he knows who love is. And so he implores, "Love incarnate, have mercy on me." Blind Bartimaeus is an icon of a Christian. You can learn everything that you need to know about this Christian life from Bartimaeus. First of all, he is blind. Second of all, he is a beggar. As such, he depends entirely on the charity of others. In a culture that values hard labor, a blind man will find no gainful employment. Everything he gets only from the charity of others. His reason should lead Bartimaeus to conclude that God does not care about him. He has, after all, been blind all these years. Logic and common sense would have given up hope a long time ago. And yet, he clings, contrary to logic, to the promises of God. He has heard that the Messiah, the promised Son of David, would come to show mercy to his people, to bring the full forgiveness of their sins. And when he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, Bartimaeus' faith sees what his eyes cannot. So he prays. What else? The Kyrie. "Lord, have mercy." This is the beggar's petition. What those who depend on the mercy, the charity, the goodness of others would pray. And this is what the Christian life looks like. You do no work. You cannot work. You cannot do anything good to merit the Lord's mercy. You simply are a beggar, possessing nothing, deserving nothing that God would esteem as good or holy. Logic and reason would tell you to give up trusting in the promises that God has made to you. The wicked seem to prosper. That's what your eyes see. And yet, every Sunday, your mother, the church, teaches you to pray with this blind beggar. What else? The Kyrie. "Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." And he does. And he has. On the way to Jerusalem, on his way, his face set toward Jerusalem, the place where he will accomplish his mission to save men, on his way to death and the fulfillment of the reason for his incarnation, his enfleshment, Jesus stopped at the prayer from this blind beggar. And he commanded that Bartimaeus be brought to him. He can't even get to Jesus on his own. He must be brought. Bartimaeus makes no pretensions. His petition, "Lord, have mercy," is that of all the beggars outside the city, except that he knows to whom it is addressed. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He calls him by his messianic title. And in so doing, Bartimaeus confesses his faith. Faith makes no pretensions. knows that it deserves nothing, yet trusts completely that the Lord's mercy endures forever. So Jesus answered his prayer as he always answers prayers for mercy in the affirmative. That's the love of God. Jesus came to be merciful. This is what the love of God is about. Love for the unlovable, for the unloving, for you. The righteous one becoming the sin of the unrighteous. The death of Jesus on the cross to deliver the love of God to you. The love of God in the flesh, Jesus, the Son of David, has had mercy on you too. He has brought you to himself as he called Bartimaeus to be brought to him. He has brought you to himself in the waters of holy baptism. Through the hearing of his word, he has delivered to you the very same faith delivered to Bartimaeus, the very same faith that saves, that trusts in the Lord for mercy. You are set free from the hopeless pursuit of self-centered love you once craved, and you have been given a completely selfless love, a love that loved you precisely because you didn't deserve it. And then you, with Bartimaeus, with the eyes of faith wide open, you remain in the company of beggars and blind men, saints alive and saints departed, all the unloving and unlovables who, like you, have had their prayer, Lord, have mercy, answered. Mercy is what a God who identifies himself as love loves to do. Mercy is why God, who is love, took on human flesh. Mercy is what the Lord continues to lavish upon you every time he gathers you around the mercy seat of his altar. Here, the love of God incarnate feeds you with himself. He has placed you into his love, and now he feeds you with his love, with his own body and blood. That God is love is to say he has love for you, and with his love makes you unlovables completely lovable, delightful to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.